What's going on, everybody? It is your man right here, Sean Liu, a.k.a. Reverend Lyle Lewis, coming back at you yet one more time with one more great message. Hey, everybody, you guys know where I come from. I come from the Word Evangelistic Church, where my pastor is the Prophet Willie C. Townsend. My co-pastor is Prophet Denise Townsend. We are located in Chicago, Illinois. Come check us out. Come listen to us. We're on YouTube. You can look us up on Google, YouTube. You can look us up on Facebook. We got messages all over the internet. So let's see. I think we got our own website, wordevangelisticchurch.com. Check us out. Hey, man. We are just here just to give you the word of God, encourage you, and bless your soul. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and move on to business. We know what we're here for, people. Okay. So today we are going to talk on patience. All right. And the reason why I wanted to talk on patience today is because, you know, I see a lot in salvation that Satan really attacks an individual's patience. And one reason why I see that Satan attacks the individual's patience is because you got to understand, without patience, yes, you need faith, you need this and that and this. But if you don't have patience, you know what I'm saying? Faith and patience are going to work hand in hand. You get what I'm saying? So if you've got faith, but you don't have patience, and that means, yeah, you believe, but you don't have like the wherewithal to actually just wait. You get what I'm saying? Like, you believe in God, you believe he's coming, but at the same time, you know, you don't have the stability to just say, hey, you know what? Whatever comes, it comes. I'm going to wait on the Lord. You know what I'm saying? This is the reason why a lot of people, they go and do things and they jump ahead of God. They jump ahead of the will of God. And then when things turn out bad for them, they're sitting and wondering why, like, well, Lord, how did you let this happen to me? It's not that God let anything happen to you per se. You went ahead of God. You get what I'm saying? See, the problem is when you go ahead of God, you are walking on, you know, that's when you're walking on thin ice. It's one thing when you're walking on thin ice with God. Like he said, if you go in the water, you will not drown. You know what I'm saying? I'm there with you. But if you go ahead of God, it's just like if you walked ahead of your parents. You know, when you're walking with your parents, when you see a baby, you see a child, they're walking with their parents, they're walking hand in hand with their parents. If that baby trips, the parent is right there, hand in hand. They're catching them, they're picking them up, they're like right there. You know what I'm saying? But if the child is somewhere ahead or behind the parents, like way, 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 where the parents don't have them in hand or can't get to them in time, and that child falls, notice they get hurt. You know what I'm saying? It's the same way with salvation. We're supposed to be walking with God, hand in hand with God. You know, when we want something, when we ask for something, when we need something, we got to wait on the Lord. No, it's not always convenient. All right. Trust me. I know this. Okay. There have been many a times. I remember like there are so many times, like, I mean, we're talking about rent was due, car notes due, other bills are due. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had important stuff due for my family, bills and all these other kinds of things. But I put God first. No matter what, I put God first and I waited on God. And in the process of me putting God first and then waiting on God, I was able to, yeah, there was a lot of things that kind of went wrong. But when let me tell you one thing. When I tell you that the Lord comes on time at all times, that is a true statement. Everybody says he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. That is a true statement. The Lord will always have it be where, you know, you may, like for example, there was times where I needed, you know, I put God first, and then I needed a bill paid, I needed my rent paid, or whatever the case may be, and then it wound up being that I didn't get the money on the due date. You know what I'm saying? We wound up going past the due date of whatever bill or rent or mortgage or whatever was due, but in the process of that happening, when the people came or when I called the people and I was like, hey, you know, this and that, or they were like, hey, where's the money? We were able to work something out that they already said, hey, look, we're not looking, we don't want to hear nothing. We don't want to work anything out with you. But then when I waited on the Lord, put God first and was patient with God and waited on God to come and deliver me, when I waited on the Lord to come through and do what he was going to do for me, when I waited for the Lord to not let me down, when I stayed hand in hand with God, I was not let down. Everything got worked out. I got the money. The people came and we worked out a deal. I was able to pay for whatever it is, whatever bill that needed to be paid. And not only was I able to pay for it, but I was able to even get a couple of dollars knocked off of the bill. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes the bill is even just, they just erase it. They're like, oh, well, you know, such and such. We're just going to go ahead and erase the bill and just start off fresh. These things have happened to me because I patiently waited on God. Like I said, it's not a convenient thing to do. This is the reason why Satan constantly wears on an individual's patience, because the first thing he wants to do is get it to where you don't want to wait on God, be it he takes your faith or be it he takes your patience. Either way, he wants to make it to where you aren't waiting around for God to help you. You're not waiting around for God to deliver you. You're not waiting around for God to give you an answer. You're just going on. So when you go on, you go by your own wisdom, you go by your own knowledge, you go by your own strength, you go by, you unfortunately don't have the knowledge, wisdom, or strength to beat Satan, not by yourself, okay? I don't care how much of the word of God you may have stored up within you, if you go against Satan by yourself, you're not gonna beat him. Why? He's too cunning. He's too crafty. This is an individual who has been deceiving people since Adam and Eve. And God knows how many years ago that was. Millions, maybe thousands. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? Man may say maybe a couple of thousand. It could have been millions. We don't know. You get what I'm saying? But he's been deceiving hell. Let's even go before that. Remember, he deceived angels. He deceived one third of the angels in heaven. Remember when the Bible says that one third of the angels was cast out of heaven with Satan? So he's been deceiving angels. If he can deceive angels, and he's been deceiving people since Adam and Eve, I mean, generations after generations after generations, and we're not talking about like a couple of people. No, we're talking about millions. We're talking about it went from two people to a couple of people to tens of people to hundreds of people to thousands of people to tens of thousands. Now he's deceiving millions and billions. So this man knows his craft. We got to know ours. The Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. That's what God told us. That's what Christ told us. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Said he that buildeth the house labors in vain. Except the Lord build the house, he that buildeth labors in vain. I mean, you do it on your own, you know, you're going to fail at some point. You may build the house, but then you won't be able to furnish it. You may be able to furnish it, but you won't be happy in it. You know what I'm saying? There's always something that Christ is going to come to make everything complete. And that is the reason why Satan wants to rob you of your faith, and he wants to test your patience. He wants to make it to where you have no patience in waiting on God. All right? The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Okay, here's the problem with faith. Without patience, you can't really establish your faith, because it takes patience to grow. This salvation walk is going to take a whole hell of a lot of patience. It's not just going to happen where you just walk and just everything turns out. No, no. You are going to be tried on many different levels, in many different areas, and in many different ways. It's going to take your patience, because there's some stuff you can fight. There's other things you just got to wait on God. So while Satan may look at it like, okay, you might have been able to fight me off, he'll hit you with something where you got to wait on God to deliver you. There is no fighting Satan. He'll step out of the way. Can you wait on God? This goes for things like paying bills or waiting on God to come through for a necessity. This goes as far as those who have illnesses, sicknesses, pain, things like that. Hey, I was an individual. I had to wait on God when I got healed from my asthma, man. I had to wait on God. It was not fun. But I did it, and it paid off. No matter what was going on, that's all I ever said. I said, Lord, I trust you. I said, Lord, you got to deliver me from taking all this medication. You got to deliver me from having all these asthma attacks. I need you. I'm going to take this medication, and I'm going to rest. But Lord God, work through the medication to heal me on a greater scale. I had a pinched nerve. Now, let me tell you something. I had a pinched nerve from 2008 all the way up until 2019. Now, you talking about somebody who needed patience. I had to wait on God. Every day I'm walking around, I can only feel one half of my body. I mean, it was nuts. It was some of the weirdest stuff, man. You can't, like, you go, you can move, you're moving, but you can't feel your, like, I can touch something, but I have no feeling in my hands when I go to touch stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to work on stuff. I'm going to hold stuff. And it's like, my hands are weak. And it's like, I have to focus on, really focus on what I'm doing to like really, you know what I'm saying? To really like hold on to stuff, to move. It was a lot of things that were kind of hard and weird to do because I honestly could not feel my extremities. I could not feel my hands. There was times I couldn't feel my feet. My legs would go numb and I'm walking. My legs would go numb and I'm doing other things. I'd be at work and my, you know what I'm saying? I got, you know, my I'm trying to work and I'm a mechanic by trade. So here it is. I'm trying to work on an engine or something like that. Next thing you know, my hands are going numb. I can't feel the wrench. I can't feel what I'm doing. Only thing I know is that I was turning a wrench. So I got to sit up here now. I got to try to focus on what I'm doing and really focus on, you know, trying to, you know, controlling my limbs. It was not convenient at all. All right. Wasn't hard, but it sure as hell wasn't fun. It wasn't something that that was a horrible thing. There was a lot of times I was in discomfort. A lot of times I was in pain. While I had a pinched nerve, I threw my back out. That was an experience in itself, but I waited on God. I trusted in God. I said, Lord, I know that you are a healer. I know that you will deliver me from this. From 2008 to 2019, that's 11 years. I had to wait. Now, the pinched nerve's gone. I don't have back pain. I don't have any like residual pain or any kind of like backlash. Every now and then I might have something from my asthma, but that's only when the season changes. But these healings came from me waiting on God. It didn't come from me just taking matters into my own hands. It didn't come from me just saying, oh, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. No. I went to the doctor and got things checked out. I went and had things, you know what I'm saying? Had the tests ran and all this other kind of stuff. But there was some times when it was like, hey, look, no, there were like surgery and this and that, that and this. I knew all the options that were there for me. I said, I'm not going that way. Why wouldn't I go in that way? Hey, I got a family I got to take care of. And if I'm down, you know, the family goes down. I can't afford that. I'm not going to have that happen. So what I did, I said, Lord, I got to trust in you and I got to keep going. I got to hold my family up. So I'm going to trust in you and I'm going to keep going. I worked, trusted in God, prayed to God, took medication, did all everything that needed to be done for whatever it was that was going on. The Lord didn't let me down. But it took my faith along with my patience to get the job done. Not just faith alone. Took my working of faith and my patience. Meaning me going forth as if I was healed and then me waiting on the Lord to heal me. See, patience isn't just in your outer. It's also on the inner also. What do I mean? Meaning it's got to be in your mind. It's got to be in your soul. That's the reason why the Bible tells me, okay, look, let's go to the scripture. It says, let's see, Psalms 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I said, the Lord said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. It says, be of good courage. Now, why? Why would the Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage? You want to know why? Because a lot of times when people wait on God, they allow their demeanor to drop. They allow their spirit to drop. They allow, you know what I'm saying? They allow like the feelings that they have to show. You get what I'm saying? You know why he told us, you know, David was saying, you know, wait on God to be of good courage. In other words, praise God. Hey, look, yeah, you're going through, but you'll come out. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like, you know, you gotta believe that you're gonna come through. You know what I'm saying? While you're waiting on God, you have to believe in the success. You've got to see the success before it happens. You've got to see the deliverance before it happens. You've got to see whatever it is that you're waiting on God for. You have to see it in advance. That's where your faith comes in at. Your faith comes in, I see it. Your patience comes in, whatever I got to do to get there, let's do it. If I got to wait, I'll wait. If I got to work, I'll work. If I got to pray, I'll pray. If I've got to study, I'll study. But whatever it is, I see where I'm trying to go. I'm going to get there. Lord, instruct me what to do. Or maybe you know what to do already. I'm going to get there. You took your time in learning so much other stuff. You took your time going to school. You took your time getting college degrees. You took your time building a family. You took your time learning to do your hair, learning to do your nails. You took your time learning to do all kinds of stuff. You took time learning how to do whatever job you do at work. So why can't you take the time just to wait on God? Why can't you take the time to just be patient and let the Lord do his thing? Don't get me wrong. Again, I say this again, and I say this from experience. This is an individual. This is coming from somebody who I've waited on God for so many things. I've waited on God for things that seemed impossible, but I said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait because I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to believe that he's going to get it for me. I'm going to believe he's going to come through for me. I'm going to believe that he's going to make a way or make this happen for me, even though I don't have a way to make it happen, even though everybody says it's impossible, even though this, that, all these odds and all these doggone trials and tribulations before me, I'm going to wait on God. And he hasn't let me down. He has not let me down. But then there's some of you like, well, I waited on God. Hey, Rev, I waited on God. The Lord let me down. Did you truly wait on God? Or are you saying you waited on God? See, here's the problem. A lot of times we'll say, I waited on God and nothing happened. Again, God's going to come on his time, not yours. God's going to come and do things his way, not yours. He's going to make sure you get what you need. But then there's going to be times where you're going to look around and it's going to be like, well, I waited on God. What happened? Maybe your faith might be being tested. Who knows? But I assure you. See, you get to where a lot of people, they'll look at it like, well, the Lord let me down. Did you truly wait? Well, I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. Okay, let's just say, for example, let's use an example. I'm sure there's somebody who's listening right now. They're like, well, I waited on the Lord to pay my bills, but he didn't come through for me. And such and such and such has happened. The bad end of whatever results happened. Okay, the bad end of whatever results happened. Let me ask you this question. You're still alive, right? Whatever happened as an end result, like if you know what I'm saying, if you were waiting on God for a bill, or you were waiting on God to pay your light bill, your lights got cut off. Okay, did you wait on God the right way? You're saying, okay, I waited on the Lord to pay my bills. Okay, did you put God first in what you were doing? See, you got to also understand, when we're waiting on God, when we're using faith, we also got to make sure that we fall in line with the standards that God set for us. So you got so many people like, I waited on God. I got faith in God. But you're not living up to the standards of what he requires in his word. Like you're saying, I waited on God to pay my bills. But in waiting on God to pay your bills, you didn't put God first in paying your tithes and offering. You didn't put God first in your service to him. You know what I'm saying? When you got blessed, you only thought about you. You didn't think nothing about God. Well, I waited on the Lord. I waited on the Lord. Okay, but when the Lord was waiting on you, where were you? You get it? You get what I'm saying? There's a lot of people, everybody wants to say, well, this and that, God let me down. God let me down. Did God let you down because... Did God let you down legit? Or did God let you down because you did or didn't do something? I'm going to tell you one thing that I know. There's never been a time that I've went ahead of God or didn't do something that the Lord required me to do, that when I got let down and I turned to God, that it was on him. It was something that I didn't do. I didn't wait on him. There was times when I went ahead of God and I did things and they turned out wrong. And then I go to God and I'm like, what happened? It's just like with the children of Israel. When they went out to battle, when Moses died and Joshua was the one that was leading Israel, and they went out to battle and then they died, and then they came back and Joshua was like, Lord, you just told us that you're with us. What's going on? All these people, they slaughtered us. He said, there's sin in the camp. God said, get up, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. And notice, when they made the correction, God was right there for them. It was the same way with me. Lord, I needed this, I needed that. What happened? The Lord showed me where there was sin. The Lord showed me where there was disobedience. The Lord showed me where I fell short in his word. The Lord showed me where I fell short in his instructions. And when I seen that, I realized, oh, okay, that's the reason why that didn't work. That's the reason why me waiting was in vain, because I don't blame God. I blame me, because it was shown to me the same way it was shown to David. Hey, look, there was a man that did this and did that. David was like, hey, let's kill this man and string him up. When the prophet said, you're the man, David said, I humble myself, Lord, forgive me. When God showed Joshua, when he said, there's sin in the camp, get up, I'm going to show you who did it. And you found that they pulled the family of Achan and said, hey, look, what did you do? And he said, I took the Babylonian garment and hid it amongst my stuff. So when you're waiting on God, you got to realize, not only do you have to wait on God, but you got to wait on God in the right standard. You got to have patience in God. You got to have faith, patience, determination, this and that. Whatever it is you do or have in God, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish in God, it cannot just be done by your own will, might, by your own righteousness, by your own frame of mind. You got to go God's way. You got to wait on God the way that God wants you to wait on him. You got to do things in God the way that God wants you to do things in God. And how do we know what God wants us to do? Read the word of God. You got scripture after scripture after scripture. So let me ask you this question. Okay, so let's go back to it. So it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, right? So what does this have to do with being of good courage? A lot of times Satan will use your shortcomings to disencourage you. So you went to wait on God, it didn't come through. Do research and be truthful with yourself. Let the word of God show you where you went wrong. But then God will come down. Oh, you did. He didn't come through for that. God don't understand. Well, who is God to tell you that? Understand, God knows all things. That's the reason why he put his word out. You want to talk about God doesn't understand? He knows what it is. That he understands what it is that you've been without a woman or a man for several years. He knows what it is that you're poor. He knows what it is that you don't have money, you don't have food, you don't have a place to stay. He knows these things. But he's already told you what to do in the word. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Hey man, there's been a lot of times I had to wait on God, okay? Lots of times I had to wait on God for things. I never stopped praising God. I never stopped worshiping God. I never stopped serving God. Notice I put three different categories: praise, worship, and service. They're not all the same. I give my praise from my mouth. I praise God at all times. The Bible says I will praise the Lord at all times. I give thanks unto God at all times. I worship God, meaning pay homage to him, pay tribute to him, give him the proper respect at all times. And I serve God, meaning whatever he says to do in his word, I do it at all times. And in the process of me doing these things at all times, when I need God to come through for me, he comes through for me. When I fell short, when there was things, because you got to understand, I'm not perfect. There was a lot of times I went to do stuff and it didn't succeed. Why? Because I fell short somewhere. I didn't become a minister because I was perfect. I became a minister, one, because I was honest, two, because I waited on the Lord, and three, because whatever the Lord showed me that I wasn't doing, I made the proper corrections and went forward. I showed the Lord that I wanted him. I showed the Lord that no matter what, I'm going to serve you till the day that I die. He's counted me faithful, ordained me as a minister. But that took patience. I watched several other people get promoted as ministers, evangelists, deacons, this is, that's, all these other titles in the church. I just said, hey, Lord, whatever you got for me, you have it for me. But I'm going to continue my work that you want me to do. And I just went forth just serving God as best as I knew how. Worshiping God as best as I knew how. Praising God as best as I knew how. Despite my circumstances, despite my situations, despite trials, tribulations, sickness, despite poverty. See, a lot of us, especially with poverty, a lot of us can truly relate with poverty. being poor, not having money, being broke all the time. A lot of us can specify with that. I was poor. I was incredibly poor. I was in poverty. There's a lot of times I did not have. I get paid, and the moment I get paid, the money's gone. My checks were so gone at one point in time in my life where, hell, I would get paid and the next two checks were gone because I had to borrow so much doggone money to get other stuff done. So the next check was gone, going to other people before money that I got to pay back to them, and then the check after that. Whole month of wages gone. So I know what it is like to go without. I know what it's like to not be able to pay your bills. I know what it's like to have to trust in God for a sickness. I know what it's like to have to trust in God because you're in such excruciating, agonizing pain. I know what it's like to have to trust in God and wait on the Lord's deliverance when you're going through emotionally. I know these things. This is the reason why I come to you and I preach unto you, because these are things that I can tell you from experience. I had the experience. I have the knowledge of them. I came out of them. And I came out on top. God said, you shall be above and above only. That's how I came out. I came out on top. I came out above my circumstances, above my situations, above poverty. I came out above these things. Why? Because I patiently waited on the Lord. I patiently waited on the Lord. And then on top of that, I was of good courage. I stayed happy. It wasn't always easy to stay happy. There was a lot of times where life just tried to beat me down. I kept the smile on my face. I kept the joy of the Lord in my heart. I stayed in my word. I stayed in church, listening to what the word of God had to tell me, listening to how the word of God was teaching me to do things and how to be, how to operate. And the whole time I'm using faith. Again, I let my faith show me what I wanted to do, where I wanted to be, what my main focus and goal was. And then I had the patience in God to let the Lord direct me to that, down that path. How do I get there, Lord? I see what I want. Bible says, knock and ye shall answer. Knock and the door shall be open. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. I went knocking on whatever door that the Lord directed me to. I walked down whatever path the Lord directed me to. I asked the right questions and the Lord gave me the right answers. You get what I'm saying? It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen. Notice what it said, he'll strengthen. It said, he'll come and strengthen. He'll strengthen you. You don't have to rely on your own strength. It's good that you have your own strength, but let your strength be combined with God's strength. Why do I say that? Because your strength is nothing compared to God's strength. Against Satan, Satan knows how to do things to zap your strength. That's like, okay, look at a lot of people. There's a lot of people. I don't know if how many of you guys like watch boxing, wrestling, and like, you know, UFC fighting and all these other kind of things. But notice how, you know, you see a fighter and they're wrestling with they're wrestling. You got two fighters. They're wrestling with each other. They're tussling. They're fighting. They're doing this. They're doing that. And then you get it where they wrap each other up. They're trying to hold on to each other. They're trying to put each other in submission moves. Right? You see boxers there, and then one of them just grab on and just lock up with them. Why are they doing this? To zap the other opponent of their strength. To tire them down, to slow them down. They either do it to slow down their opponent, or they do it because they are tired and they don't know what else to do. So to keep their opponent from attacking them, they tie them up. Either to zap the opponent of their strength or to build their own, to catch their own breath. You get what I'm saying? So what I'm saying here in this scenario, when we're trying to go with our own strength, Satan knows how to wrestle with us. He knows how to grapple with us. He knows how to hold us up. That zaps us of our energy. That zaps us of our strength. But when you've got the strength of God, Satan will try to grab hold of you, but you know how to shake him. See, with your strength, you may know how to shake him, but you don't have the strength to. With your strength, you may know how to keep him off you, but for whatever reason, he knows how to get around you. But with God's strength, see, with God's strength, it doesn't just come just strength. It comes knowledge. It comes wisdom. It comes understanding. It comes experience. You get what I'm saying? In God comes these things. Man's strength will just tell you, go. God's strength will say, go, but go with this and go with that and go with this. Hence, read the why the Bible said, add to your faith, patience, love, virtue, this and that, the brotherly kind, all these other things. Tells you to add the fruits of the Spirit and all these other kinds of things. Tells you to add these things. Why? Because against Satan, you need more than strength. You need more than faith. We're going to go through all the different things, you know what I'm saying, that it said add to your faith. It's add to your faith, virtue, patience, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. We're going to go through all those different things. But right now, we're going to deal with patience. Satan wants to take your patience away from you, because if he could take your patience, your faith is not far to fall. Because you don't have the strength to wait on God. So while you may believe in God, you don't have the strength to wait on him. What do you think is going to happen? Eventually, you will give up. Eventually, you will. Because without strength and patience, you may have the strength, but if you don't have the patience, you know what I'm saying? You lose focus. Patience helps you to breed focus. Because you know what you're waiting for. Notice when you're focused. Notice when an individual is really focused. Notice when you're playing pool. For anybody who plays pool or has played bowling or has played a video game where anybody who's done anything that requires concentration, notice when it requires your concentration, notice how you do it, and you do it. You approach it patiently. Golf, baseball, whatever. You do it and you approach it in a patient way. Why? Because you know that in the process of you approaching it in a patient way, you know how to get the rhythm of things to do it and to get the best results. But at the same time, you're also focused on whatever it is you're trying to do. Your focus is on knocking down the pins. Your focus is on hitting the ball. Your focus is on, putting puzzle pieces together. Whatever it is that you focus on, I don't know. Everybody focuses on different things. You know what I'm saying? Be it something for sports, be it video game, be it whatever. Whatever it is you focus on, when you focus on it, notice how patient you are. Right? You're patient. If it takes you a minute to get it, prime example is chess. That's a very good example. You got a lot of people who really, really love the game of chess. They are not too, you know, yeah, you do have speed chess, but I'm talking about like when those who really, really play the game of chess. They're focused on the game. They have patience. In the process of them having patience, they're focused on the board, they're focused on their opponent's moves and pieces and so forth, but they're also focused on what they got to do next. They're working out plans. See, when you're patient, God has time to deal with you. When you're patient in the right way that God would have for you to be patient, when you've done what the Lord would have for you to do, and now you're patiently waiting on God in right standing with God, he's going to deal with you. He's going to give you plans. He's going to give you ideas. He's going to give you knowledge. He's going to give you understanding and how to get what you want, do what you want, or whatever the case may be. It may be nothing more than he deals with you and says, hey, call such and such. Your patience has you focused. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Your patience has you focused. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to be downhearted or anything like that. I'm going to stay in line with what God would have for me to do. Next thing you know, boom, God drops something in your spirit, or he drops something in somebody else's spirit to come to you, or whatever the case may be, but he works it out for you in some kind of way. Why? You were able to focus on God by being patient. This is the reason why he tells you, be of good courage, focus. He says, well, let's see what the scripture says. Scripture says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. God's going to come in. You focused on God, God came in and strengthened your heart. How? By giving you the word, by giving you instruction. Sometimes it may just be by just calming your spirit. God may not necessarily come and necessarily just do something for you. He may come in and just give you peace of mind. You get a lot of times when people, they go into prayer. Because I've done this before in the past. I've gone to God in prayer a lot of times, especially when I was a babe in Christ. I went to God and I would cry, oh Lord, I need this and I need that and I need this and I need that and I need this. And then, you know, in the process of me crying and sitting before God, I'll just say, but Lord, you know, I just say, Lord, this and that. And I'll tell God, but I trust you that you come through for me. I trust you that such. And you want to know what would happen? There will be a calm that will come to me. And I would have to take that little bit of calm, that little bit of peace, that little bit of tranquility in my spirit that I got through prayer. And I got to run with that. There's times where I needed God to come through for me for certain things. Money, deliverance, healing, all kinds of stuff. And the Lord would tell me what to do in his word. And what he told me to do in his word seemed unconventional. Seemed very inconvenient. Seemed something that would be totally against me. But I'm like, I'm going to trust you, Lord God. And I went for it. And what he told me to do didn't work at first. Notice what I said. Did not work at first. But I kept on going. I kept on trusting in God. I kept on with patience in the Lord and what he told me to do. And eventually, it worked out greater than I ever could have expected it. Greater than I ever could have imagined. Why? Because I put the time, the effort, the energy, the patience in, the focus on God, and the Lord came through for me. See, God can and will do many great things for you, but you have to give him a chance. You got to give him a chance, but you got to let him. It's like this. It's like, you ever seen like in movies, you see like the hero in the movie where it's like, he's like, it's like, whatever organization he works for or whatever the case may be, they hate him, but at the same time he gets results. They all say, oh, you're a loose cannon and this and that and blah 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 and yada yada yada, but what he does, his way works. Now I understand this isn't the movie, I just use that as an example, but you get what I'm trying to say. It's the same way with God. God's ways a lot of times may seem unconventional, inconvenient. They may even seem like they're not going to work. Notice when Naaman came to the prophet Elijah, and he came out and he was like, hey, you know, I got leprosy. I need you to heal me. And the prophet said, go dip in the muddy waters of Jordan. He said, wait a minute, the muddy waters of Jordan? Aren't the waters of Habana and Pharpar much greater and fairer than the muddy waters, muddy, disgusting waters of Jordan? Why, I'm not doing that. But then as he was walking away, one of his servants said, you came out here to talk to this man. Now, if he told you to do it, why don't you just go do it? Why don't you just give it a try? Maybe the man might know what he's talking about. He said, Naaman humbled himself, went and dipped like the prophet told him to. And he said it came up skin was smooth. Right? Didn't seem like it would work though, right? Why would you go and bathe in the most muddiest, disgustingest waters that there are? Well, if that's what God tells you to do, you got to do it. The Bible says your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. So much as I am higher than you, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. We got to just trust in God that he knows the way, that he knows what he's doing. God's not going to do nothing to hurt us. So when the word of God tells us to wait on God and be patient, do what the word of God tells you to do. Wait on God and be patient. Let's go on with the rest of the scripture. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Now, why didn't it say he'll strengthen? Why didn't it say he'll strengthen your mind? Why didn't it say he'll strengthen your spirit? Why the heart? The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So that means out of the abundance of the heart, things happen. You don't wait on God because the abundance of your heart leads you not to wait on God. You don't trust in God because there's no faith in your heart to trust in God. See, God understands. And so does Satan. Things start in the mind, goes to the heart, and from the heart comes the action. Now, we're not talking about things like breathing, blinking, moving your arms and stuff like that. We're not talking about stuff like that. We're talking about big decisions. The way you think, the way you operate, what you say, how you deal with people. Those things come from the heart. This is the reason why he said, he said, he shall come and strengthen thy heart. Why would he say he'll come and strengthen the heart? To get you to rest. To get you to be easy. If he encourages the heart, then you'll, you know what I'm saying? The mind can tell you all of this and all of that. The mind can tell you all this and chaos and that and this. But if your heart is at rest, you tell your mind, and you can block your mind out. You'll block it out. You'll be like, hey, look, everything's all right. Everything will be okay. Notice how your mind may say something to you, but you know something in your heart. This is the reason why a lot of people, they tell you to follow your heart. Because they say, like, you know, the heart, you know what I'm saying? That's like an inner instinct that you that knows the way. You know what I'm saying? If your heart is at peace, your mind can be in chaos. If your heart is at peace, your soul is in it. It'll put your soul at peace. Your heart can tell your mind, hey, look, we're going to chill out. Hey, but we got this and we got that. Hey, look, we're going to chill. From the abundance of the heart. So if you have patience in your heart, your mind may be telling you to act, but your heart be saying, like, no, we need to sit still. We'll be okay. Your mind may be telling you one thing, but your heart's like, no, that's not right. Let's not do it that way. Because God comes and he puts things at ease. He puts things at rest. He said, I'll strengthen your heart. He'll make it to where you can wait on God. Your mind's job is to show you the circumstances and the situations and shows you what's going on so that we can find out how to attack it. So find out how to figure it out, find out how to fix it. But the heart will tell you which way to go first. The heart will say, okay, this is the most important thing. We need to go in that direction. So when you can get the heart and the mind to rest together and wait on God, oh man, it's a beautiful thing. It is. It's a very beautiful thing. So it says, he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say unto the Lord. He re-encouraged it. I mean, he reinforced it. He said, wait, I'm telling you, wait on the Lord. David did a lot of things while he was king that wasn't pleasing unto God. All right, let's get that through our heads. You know, David was not necessarily just like, you know, he just had a perfect run with God. No, he messed up a couple of times. But notice, what did the Lord say? He's a man after my own heart. Why? Because God knows the kind of man that David is. God knows what's in David's heart. God knows that David, from his heart, will serve God. Your patience in God is important. It's just as important as your faith. It's just as important as the love. It's just as important as your determination. It's just as important as whatever motivates you. See, all things in God are important. Don't let Satan tell you that you don't need one. You need it all. Okay? Satan will tell you, you don't need this. You don't need that. It don't take all this. It don't take all that. Remember one thing. The Bible tells us that Satan is a liar. Okay? Even when he's telling the truth, he's lying about something. So when he comes and he tries to get you to make moves and to do things ahead of God, and he may tell you, oh yeah, it'll work for you. It'll work. This will work for you. That'll work for you. Do it like this. Things will work for you. Oh man, this and that, that and this. Hey, we go. Hey, we know it's right there. It's right there. Let's just go get it. Hey, let's go. We can get it. And this and that, that and this. Be still. Know that I am God. That's why the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on God. You know what I'm saying? Trust in God. Have confidence in God. Being of good courage isn't just about being happy. It's also having confidence. Having yourself established in a confident manner to where you're confident that the Lord will provide or come through. See, I don't want to just tell you one aspect and have you go that way, and then here it is. You're like, well, but I was happy. You also have to be settled. Be of good courage. Be brave. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be brave. Because there's going to be a lot of times where circumstances and situations and life, it's going to come and get right in your face. Sometimes it may even overtake you. You got to stand confident and brave in God. I know the Lord's going to deliver me. I know the Lord's going to bring me out. People may not stand with you. Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your aunts, your uncle, grandparents, your husband, your wife, your kids, they may all turn on you. You have to be brave and confident enough in God to say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. Lord, I don't have an answer yet. I don't know what to do with this, that, that, and this. I'm going to wait on you for the answer. Oh, you're going to miss the sale. I'm going to wait on God. But the deal is hot. I'm going to wait on God. But this man is ready now. I'm going to wait on God. But this woman is telling you if you don't marry her, she's going to walk out your life. I'm going to wait on God. Well, if you don't accept the terms of this job, we're going to wind up passing it on to somebody else. I'm going to wait on God. See, what may be good for somebody else may not be good for you. You know what I'm saying? You may want to be with this man or this woman. Oh, man, this and that, that, and this. They're so beautiful, this and that, blah, blah, blah. You know, this and that, so forth and so forth. And next thing you know, you're trying to be with this individual and go the distance or whatever it is that they want you to do. And you're jumping through all kinds of hoops. And then the Lord comes and tell you they're not for you. Oh, but Lord, I've been without a man for 10 years. I've been without a woman for 15 years. I mean, she's perfect. She's this, she's that. He's this, he's that. Everything I want. Lord's saying, not so. So he's telling you, you got to wait a little bit longer. Now you go and marry him, and then you come to find out the wife cheats on you. The husband's beating on you. The wife is of no use to you. The husband doesn't want to work. Can't keep a job on purpose. Not hard time. He's just one of the kind of people that just, he'll just quit for whatever reason. Just, hey, you know what I'm saying? If it's cold out, I quit. I'm not going to work. Screw them. I'll get another job when weather breaks. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I wanted this individual and you didn't wait on God. But if you wait on God, okay. She's like, well, if you don't propose to me, hey, look, I'm going to wait on God. If the Lord says we're to be together, then we'll be together. Well, if you don't propose to me, I'm gone. If it's the Lord's will, we'll be together. But if you feel as though you got to go, then go. I'm going to wait on God. Next thing you know, she leaves. She may go marry somebody else. They may live a fantastic life. You want to know what that meant? That wasn't the wife for you. That was the wife for that guy. But if the Lord sends you a woman, maybe 2-3 years down the line, you may have to wait a whole another 2-5 years. But the Lord sends you somebody that you can be happy with, that you love, that loves you, that is productive in the marriage, that's productive in the home, that's productive with your walk and your walk with God. They work hand in hand with you in the things of God. Both of you are working in God in unity, and you have found favor with God through and by this individual because you waited on God and the Lord blessed you with a gift. Be it man or woman, if you wait on God, the Lord will send you the spouse you need and the spouse you want. May not look like the spouse you want. You got to understand, you know, we may look at the spouse like, you know, service wise they're not, but as far as being a husband, as far as being a wife, I couldn't ask for anything more. The Lord gave me what I need. And the Lord, and by giving me what I need, I show thanks unto him. He turned my heart to make this something that I wanted. See, again, I'm not just talking from just the Bible standpoint. I'm talking from experience. There's so many things I've waited on God for, and I had to be patient with God for. And he delivered me. He gave me these things. Now I look back and I'm like, man, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for deliverance, health, wealth, this, that. I thank you for all of these things. But it took me waiting on God. I had to really wait for some things. Some stuff didn't seem like it would come. It seemed like it would never come. I still waited. Didn't matter. I waited. Still waited. And when things started happening, when things started coming, oh man, I couldn't help but praise God, because I seen that the Lord blessed. The Bible says, Lord bless and add no sorrow. I was getting these things and the Lord gave them to me, and these are things I didn't lose. These are things that I was able to enjoy. These are things that brought me no hurt, harm, danger. They brought no consequences or repercussions. It was like I was able to enjoy them to the fullest of what I wanted. I'm going to leave you with the scripture. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall. This is a promise. Said he shall. He's going to do it. That's guaranteed. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. What does it mean being of good courage again? Be happy. Despite the circumstances and situations, be happy. Be brave. Face whatever it is that you got to go up against with boldness. Face whatever it is you got to face with gladness. Face it. Tell the situation you're not going to depress me. Tell it you're not going to make me sad. Tell it you're not going to take me out of the faith. No. I stand up against you in the name of God, in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come against you in the name of Jesus. You tell that situation that no matter what it is, I'm going to wait on God. And you stand tall. Regardless of who stands with you, you stand. Show God that you serve him with faith and you serve him with patience. Keep that vision of what you're going after in your mind. You want healing? You stand. Wait on God for that healing. But go forth in the process, however it is that the Lord tells you to go. Do it with gladness. Do it with cheer. Do it with joy. Do it with courageousness. Do it with bravery. Do it with boldness. Huh? Do it. It's worth it. It'll pay off for you. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen our heart. The Lord will come, and he will make sure that as long as you keep your focus on God, he will make sure that you do not feel the effects. What do I mean, feel the effects? You might feel the pain from the sickness. You may feel the sting from whatever it is that's going on, but it's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you to the point where it destroys you. It's not going to take you from God. It's not going to take you out of the faith. It's not going to devastate your life. But here's another thing. Even if it does, God is going to make sure he does you like he did Job. Yeah, notice there's a lot of things that hurt Job, devastated Job, took Job, it took a lot of stuff away from Job. But what did the Bible say? It says the end of Job's life was blessed umpteen amount of time over. What did it say? Seven times over, I think it said. Said the end of Job's life was blessed seven times more. This means he had more kids who were better and more well-behaved than the first set. He had more cattle that was more valuable. More crops that was more valuable. Because he had more quantity, had better value, better quality. The Lord raised the man's quality in this man's life seven times over. Because of what he went through, and he patiently waited on the Lord. If you need an example, look at Job. Job waited patiently on the Lord. This is the reason why. If you look at the book of Job, there's no timeline really in the book of Job. It doesn't tell you he waited this many days, that many years, this, that, that. We don't know how long Job went through. It could have been a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months, could have been years. We don't know. Why don't we know? Because God knew that if he would have put timeline in there, people would be like, well, Job went through this much for this much amount of time. That should be about the time that I go through. Satan will come and play on the individual's mind and say, well, Job only went through for 7 years. You've been going through for 20. What's going on? That'll discourage you. But if you look at Job, he went through, waited on God patiently. God blessed the end of his life so tremendously. So I don't care what's going on. I don't care if you wait on God and nothing happens, or except for good things because the Lord came through. I don't care if you waited on God and devastation happened. Whether it's good, bad, or somewhere in the middle, if you wait on God, He said, what did the scripture say? Now, I'm not going off of me. I'm going off scripture. The scripture says, so the Bible says that the word of God is settled in heaven. So, Lord, it's what the word of God said. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall. That's a promise. It's coming. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hey, this has been Reverend Lyle Lewis, a.k.a. Sean Liu. It's been a pleasure being here with you. Hey, guys, I want you guys to make sure to check out the Word Evangelistic Church on any platform. Check us out on Google. It'll show you all the platforms that we got. And I want you guys to also check out a new sponsor of mine, all right? This guy, this is a new clothing line. I want you guys to check it out for me. It is good friend of mine, SerenityClothingApparel.com, all right? Check out this website. Great clothing, good quality stuff. It's original, man, and it is stylish. Let me tell you, this is some good stuff, all right? Quality clothing at a very decent price, and you're styling. Either way you go, you know what I'm saying? And what more, what do all Christians want, huh? Peace and serenity, huh? This is SerenityClothingApparel.com. Check it out. That's SerenityClothingApparel.com. Hey, I want to thank SerenityClothingApparel.com. I want to thank Lewtown Productions. And I want to thank Moondogs Overnight Stock, LLC. I also want to thank Anchor for opening up this opportunity. Again, this is Reverend Lyle Lewis with the Word Evangelistic Church, where my pastor is Prophet Willie C. Townsend. My co-pastor is Prophetess Denise Townsend. Check us out. I'll check you later. God bless.